just clarify a little bit of my thinking. This is a fascinating sugya because it offers a very interesting window into the development of a particular sugya, and something that I've observed a number of times over the last few years in Shir about Torah Eretz Yisrael in Bavel. So that's not on the Hamotzi part. The Hamotzi part also may be relevant. The Hamotzi part we'll go through quickly. We've already seen in the Yerushalmi is not much to add, but the Shlakos piece gets very, very interesting. Anyway, you'll see stuff as we go along. Can I take a reader? Someone who would like to volunteer to read Tzion? Okay. See, I needed him at lunch yesterday, and Ezra, you were of no use to me. Where's Ezra? You were no use to me. Okay. B'chol lashon lecha. Did you? Is that your nesach? How are you pronouncing that? What are the letters? You're saying Ches? Ah, that's the Rambam's Nusach, yeah. By the way, in Aleinu, though, for those who were on lunch, I just point out, Cholashon L'chasi Shava doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense to swear. Firstly, the idiom is strange. L'hi Shava Le. What do you swear to God? I asked Rishach about it. He mentioned some medrash about the child before he goes out. So has to swear that he's going to keep the Torah. I never heard the swearing part, but that may be somebody's perush on this. But then I mentioned the Rambam. He thought it was very interesting. The Rambam says, Tishabach. Which makes much more sense. The whole peh lecha yodeh, the whole lashon lecha tishabach. Yes. No. So anyway, so you were so Ezra. What do you say?
I'd say whatever you say. I still remember.
Okay, never mind. Okay, anyway, so now we have some. But he refused to be the real Sephardi for pronunciation. So go ahead. So he already pointed out the Yerushalmi has the machlokas in reverse, and at least at the first stage in the Yerushalmi it has, I think Rav Nachman or something like that. What was the original? I'm sorry, and then but later in the sugya it refers to Rav Nechemia, so it's probably a toh sofer on the first one. Since you have a brisa both in Bav and Yerushalmi, I would assume it's the same. Personalities. Now, so they have a machlokas whether you say hamotzi lechem min haaretz or motzi lechem min haaretz. Fine. So Amar Rava.
Amar Rava b'motzi kule amar lo lafeliget. Da'pik mashma dichtiv al motzi amim mitzrayim. Ki pliget b'hamotzi. Amran sebrei hamotzi da'pik mashma dichtiv hamotzi lefar ma'im mitzur hachalamish.
Okay, so for those who are not versant in Aramaic grammar, what is the difference between apek and mapek? Eitan, go ahead, since you've suffered long enough this semester.
Apek is participle.
And apek is?
It's afel. No.
It is an afel, but what tense? It could be only if it's first person. If it's third person, it's perfect. That's what they're dealing with. Apeik is hotzi, mapeik is motzi. So the way Rava, assuming that the word the apeik mashma is part of Rava's statement, and I'm guessing that it is, but I'm not 100% sure. One of the things that makes me wonder whether or not that... See, it makes me wonder whether... Why is that important? It's important because we're trying to figure out how does the Maskanas HaBavli understand the Machlokas? It understands that everybody desires that the word that you use in the bracha should refer to the past. And the way it's presented, look at the Maskana, V'hilchasa. V'hilchasa HaMotzi Lecha Min Haaretz, the end of the first paragraph, the first blank line. HaMotzi Min Haaretz, Dekayma Lan K'Rabbanan Da'amrei Da'apek Mashma. I can't tell whether or not it's that's clearly the work of the Gaonim, or at very least the Stam of the Gemara, and I can't tell whether or not that they highlight the fact that it's the Apek Mashma. Is that the way they understood the Machlokas? It's clearly not how who understands the Machlokas. The Yerushalmi, if anything, seems to be focused on the other direction, right? In other words, they want it to be, the question is it present or future or something like that? It was a Yehifi Sasbar Ba'aretz or something like that. It appears to be different. What is interesting is at least up until Rava, you don't know how the Bavli understood the Machlokas. Rava is the first one potentially to present it as something on the past versus present tense. But I'm wondering, I want to know whether for sure it's even Rava who said that it's passed or not, because potentially if Rava didn't add in those words the apek mashma, if Rava just said b'motzi chuleyama lo pligi, ki pligi behamotzi, so it's possible the rest or part of it, in fact, is not Rava. Rava doesn't explain why he saw the machlokas that way. I tend to doubt it. My guess is that Rava quoted the psukim as well, and once Rava quotes the psukim, then it's possible he didn't say. It's possible he still didn't say the words the apek mashma, and he has a different understanding. But once at least he's giving you the raw data of the psukim, then it's pretty clear, or it seems likely that Rava's interpretation is the way the Bavli understands it, that it's the apek versus the mapek. But that's why I put it in italics, because I don't know for sure whether that's part of Rava's quotation or that's the Gemara's spin on Rava. Ezra?
Just first, very quickly, what's the Hebrew of mapek? You would say it would be
motzi. The mem is the participle.
Motzi, right? And then apek would be.
It's a hotzi, yes. Yeah, it's an afel. So. Apek technically could also be I will take out in the future, but that's not how the Gemara understands it here.
Okay.
Yes.
And is there anything in the language of the apek mashma when you look at the line? Or let's say if I look at the line and you parse it, the Rabbanan Sabri and the Rabbi Yehuda Savar. Is there anything about the language that
no.
that away?
No.
Not, there's no difference.
No. As far as I can tell, they're already Rabbi speaking in Aramaic. So I think with Rav and Abayi, you start to see a lot more Aramaic, even in the Maimras, and therefore you can't really tell. It's not as easy to split apart the statement, especially if they speak in Aramaic. If they don't, I'm not saying none of them are in Hebrew. If they're in Hebrew, so then it's easy to split the Maimra from the part that
He's kind of quoting by saying Rabbanah. He's saying what the Rabbanah.
Well, the word Hamotzi doesn't prove anything. That's Hebrew, but Savrei is Aramaic.
Right.
It's also Aramaic, yes. Right. Kuleyama lo plige is also Aramaic. Pligi, probably. Polge, actually. Is there a yid in there? It has to be pligi? Oh, it's passive participle. That's stupid.
Ksivin,
pligi, yeah.
Is that always clear in
what?
I mean, like, I know that some words originally are Aramaic, but do they start getting incorporated into, like,
Generally, you can. Generally, not. I can't. I'm not going to tell you no examples. But then you have to go back. You find an example. Look at Kisayad and so on. Generally, it's pretty clear.
We have words that.
There is no doubt in the Mishnayos. There are Aramaic. What I would call Aramaisms that have worked their way into rabbinic Hebrew. You know, my favorite example of this, if the Targuman people forgive me, is Meruba. Yeah, what does it mean? What do we say? There are two kinds of Kohan and Gedolim. Okay, if you've heard this in Targum, you can't say it. You have a Kohen, we'll test Gabe on this. You have a Kohen, what are they, Gabe? And what does Meruba Begadim mean? So what was your Nusach?
What's that? I said Meruba.
No, I understand. What's the next word?
Begadim.
Meruba begadim. Interesting. So that's pretty good, Gabe. So Gabe is correct on the basic meaning, but you have to understand what it comes from. The correct nusach. No, the correct nusach is meruba bivgadim.
Okay.
And what does the word meruba mean?
It does. Great from a gudal. It's from rabbe. Is it?
It's the
Aramaic translation of mashuach.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Timshach is tirabe.
Yeah.
So meruba bivgadim is Mashuach Bivgadim, right? In other words,
the noun in Aramaic is
Mishcha. I understand, but the point is that Mashuach B'Shem and HaMishcha, in effect, you might even question whether Mashuach really means anointed or means made great in the sense of Timshach is Tirabe. That's all.
So it really may still be from that Shomer Shadol.
No, that's Hagadol Me'achav. That's also no, it's probably that's probably Rabbah, probably. That's an adjective as opposed to a participle. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, you have to check that. But I think meruba is simply meruba bivgadim is like mashuach b'shem and mishcha, mashuach and meruba. There are a lot of examples. The other classic one Rashi points out is hanoder b'shmo v'hamakayim b'shmo. Okay. Hamakayim b'shmo. When you see in the Mishnah, what does makayim b'shmo mean? What is noder b'shmo? What is makayim b'shmo? Shah. What does it mean? Noder b'shmo means. He takes a neder in his name. What's Mekayim B'Shmo? He fulfills the neder in the name of the Zara? No. What's the Aramaic translation? What is Kayama, one of the translations for it?
One of grace.
No.
No, it's not bris.
It is, but it's a, it's.
Bris is
what is when a Kaddish Baruch Hu swears always and sometimes other mishpa. Yes, lekayama is the most common translation of to swear in Aramaic. So mishpa bishmo, no de bishmo, mekay mishmo is really no de bishmo, vinishba bishmo.
Oh, mishpa that's shul versus
nevin. Probably yes. So there are a lot of these. Anyway, enough. I don't want to kill. For those who don't like the language, so I'm not gonna. Eyal's not here, but he's not feeling well. But you know, so maybe it was Bashert. That's right. He knew he could anticipate it coming. Yes, Shalom.
I mean, one thing to point out though is that I think in Aramaic Hebrew, which like in the Mamre, they tend to have less Aramaic because it wasn't a spoken language anymore.
I think you will also see, though, that when you pre Abaye and Rava, you get almost no Aramaic, whereas later, when you move from Rava Abaye and Rava, you tend to see more statements in Aramaic. I'm not saying there is Hebrew later, and that will distinguish itself, but it's no longer as exclusive as it was in the early generation.
What I was trying to point out is that Ezra said that maybe Aramaic was influencing their Hebrew, so I was just saying that the Hebrew that you find that Moriah are saying have even less Aramaic than the Mishnah's Hebrew.
Okay. Yeah, Satan?
I think we brought this up before, but. Was Hebrew ever really a spoken language at the time of the Tanaim and Urim?
Time of the Tanaim, yes, at least when they were in Yavne. When they moved to Ushah, I don't know if it was anymore. Probably not in the MRA period.
Dr. Ellen points out that there's a Mishnah, I don't remember where it is, where the Rebbe says something about getting one of his servant girls she comes from a town and they still speak Hebrew to translate something to them.
No, that's the Gemara Rosh Hashanah and elsewhere. When Amsa the Bei Rebbe, she knew what all these Hebrew words meant when the Rabbanon did not know it.
Right.
But I don't know if that proves. He thinks. Is there any evidence to that, though? Probably not. Okay, I mean, it's possible. It's certainly possible. She seems to know a lot of these words, like, you know, amata, you know, v'titaseh, v'matateh hashmed, and so on. It's possible. But anyway, bottom line is, in Yavne, it's still a spoken language. In the Bar Kokhba period, it's definitely a spoken language. Bar Kokhba letters are written in Hebrew, and Mishnaic Hebrew. That was, for a long time, it was really sort of an anti-Semitic, it was an anti-Semitic bias in scholarship that wanted to see Hebrew as a dead language, because basically, you know, rabbinic Jews were no longer biblical Jews, and therefore, you know that Hebrew is just an artificial thing.
Yeah, we call it Bar Kokhba.
No one's saying that Aramaic wasn't spoken at the same time.
It's just funny. Dr. Snyder thinks that there was a colloquial Hebrew like that you find a lot in Yirmiyahu. That is the
Rabbinic Hebrew has antecedents in biblical Hebrew. If you want the classic form of that, there are probably multiple dialects coexisting. And biblical Hebrew, for the most part, is one, although you see influences of the other. For example, the second person masculine singular pronoun, atah. In standard biblical Hebrew, it's atah and at. In rabbinic Hebrew, it's at for masculine and ati for feminine. But you see a couple of times where the at form slips in, even twice in Chumash. You all know the Medrash on it, but vi at tidaber eleinu, avim kocha at osali. So in one of the cases, it's obvious, and Chazal and Rashi says in both, the tashash kocha kinekeva. The Moshe Rabbeinu, when he said it, you know, tashash kocha kinekeva, and, you know, when they approach him, the original is by after Matan Torah, it's in Vaschanim, when the Jews approach him, and Moshe quotes them, and they say, Krava Toshima Is Asher Shem At Tidaber Elenu. So Rashi there, Toshash Kocho Kinekeva, right? Moshe's became very weak. But the pshat there is that it's the other dialect. I can't tell you why it appears there. Bar Asher, I think, pointed this out. So you really have, coexisting. It's just that most biblical Hebrew is in one dialect. But we don't know exactly what was spoken. And Mishnaic Hebrew is often reflects what might have been contemporaneous with biblical Hebrew, but the other dialect. Ezra?
I just think the stand-in for AL is just like a legal discussion.
Okay. Move on. Thank you. Okay. Anyway.
Of course, really, if he was in the cave, he wouldn't have touched it.
Enough. Tzvi?
This quick question. You said that the optic mashma, the mapi, could be just the Gemara spin-off of
the Gemara's interpretation of Rava.
What other way can you interpret that statement?
Well, the truth is that what I then said is that with the psukim that Rava quotes, I don't know what the alternative interpretation. That's why even if Rabbi didn't say it, it's likely to be the interpretation. It's possible Rabbi said it. I don't know. If I thought that all Rabbi said is b'motze kulam elapligi ki pligi b'hamotze, and that's all he said, then I could get away with that. But then you have to assume that, you know, why doesn't Rabbi at least explain a little bit as to what he's driving at? And why does he think that? Moshe? Is that clear now?
Yeah.
So, but you're right. Then there's the psukim, if Rabbi quotes them, certainly point in that direction. Moshe?
Why is the Gemara so concerned with assigning a sense or assigning the definition of hamotzi? Is that because they want to get to the point of hamotzi being the bracha?
No. It's not clear that the Gemara wants to get there per se. We do need to the assumption, the way the Bavli reads everything, is that everybody agrees you want the bracha to be shavach on the past. That's the point of agreement of all. Because you thank God for giving you the food.
But we use the participles for the other
brachos. So that's a problem. We pointed at, look, if you want to chop it down to its linguistic essence, Ezra, forgive this, but this is important. Remember, we struggled over why. In other words, the Yerushalmi suggests if the reason for saying, remember, how does the Yerushalmi understand in the Machlokas at one point at least of Hamotzi versus Hamotzi? Lahafrid beinat vekim. Right? That was That was one end. But the Yerushalmi, at the end of that sugya, goes back to its original assumption that there's more of a linguistic issue here and says that it should be a machlokes whether or not you say borei pri ha'etz or ha-borei pri ha'etz. Now, we pointed out after working through, I'm not going to go do it again, that the truth is, from a grammatical perspective, ha-borei pri ha'etz is untenable.
Right.
And by the same thing, the same token, we thought that what? We thought that only by motzi could you have the machlokas, because there is no in other words, lechem is not definitive. Pri ha'etz is definitive. Pri ha'etz is biyidua.
Or it could be motzi
halechem. It could have been motzi halechem. It could have been motzi halechem in aretz. Then you couldn't say ha motzi halechem in aretz. But basically, what we suggested is. So how did that come out for this? So we point that it's not relevant by Berpates. It's only relevant by Motzi Lechem in Aretz.
We said it later.
And the truth is that the hay actually makes more sense.
Is that because it's possible? Is that because it's possible? Why did they want to pass that limit? Why not say
Hotzi? No, you're thanking God for what he did for you.
Why not say
Hotzi? Because... So you mean why does the Bavli, how do they see it in light of the other brachos? I don't know.
In other words, they're working within a certain nisach of the bracha, and they need to figure that out. But if they really were concerned with it being past tense, for whatever reason, I still don't really understand why not just say Hotzi?
So maybe the answer is because you like the sense of continuity as well. In other words, you want to capture both, perhaps, but you have to be able to capture the past. That would probably be the argument. I can't get worked up on the drashas, the language really here. Shlomo?
Just one quick question. The hay that we're dealing with in Hamotzi,
uh-huh.
Is it a hay yedia or is it a bakit?
It's neither. Well, I should know. No, excuse me. Gabe Shah. It definitely a hay yedia. The question is it really just a hay yedia or is it a relative pronoun?
What does that mean?
Hey, when you want to say asher with a participle... The one who, and I think it is that. I think Gabe is correct. It's neither. You use typically with a participle, you use a hey, not asher. There are rare examples where you have asher, like asher yoshev b'cheshbon. That's very unusual. Normally it's hayoshev, but you never say, almost never say hayoshav, the one who sat. You say asher yoshav. What? Okay, only ayin vav show that, probably because they look the same. You have hecholchu. That's the odd one. Okay. Anyway, okay, so the Gemara, so Rava suggests that everybody agrees that Kel Motzi Ami Mitzrayim, which means the God who took them out of Egypt, that's past tense. They argue about Hamotzi. The Rabbanan hold the Apek Mashmat's past tense, Hamotzi Lachamai Mitzrayim Halamish. Did anybody see Rashi? Look at Rashi there. And what is Rashi doing? No. On Hamotzi Lachamai Mitzrayim Halamish. No, 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 no. Did you look at Rashi now? Look at Rashi. Rashi says something very interesting. Rabbi Nechemya savar demapek mashma. Look at that Dibur Maskil. Rashi writes, Rabbi Nechemya savar demapek mashma she'osid lahotzi d'chsev ha-motzi eschem uch'shenemar pasuk zel l'moshe adayin lo yatu. V'ha-motzi l'chamayim adayin hoya motzi koyame heyos ha-mamidbar. What does he mean by that?
Wasn't a one-time thing.
What's that?
It's an adjective.
It's what?
That the latter is an adjective.
No. No, 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 no.
That it was a continuous...
Not that it was continuous. What question is Rashi coming to answer? Firstly, what was Rashi's question? We're going to do an Nechama Leibitz here, even though we're learning Gemara. Okay? Mahe Niyat Rashi. What was his... What prompted him? What was his question here?
How could
you describe
something? Sounds like
it has. Now, I want to, on the last part, when he says... V'hamotzi l'chamayim. Those last 10 words, you're not going to all see the question in Rashi. The question, you have to think more broader terms. What was Rashi's question? In order to establish that the bracha can be hamotzi, what do the chachamim need to establish? There's something wrong in the Gemara. Let's look at the Gemara. One second. In the Gemara, guys, what does the Gemara present for Hamotzi, Shalom? Okay, it's a machlokas. What does it present about the Psukim?
Past.
Yesh Panim Lakan, V'yesh Panim Lakan. We have one Pasuk.
In the past.
You have one. I guess that you don't have to have Rashi's question, but he's bothered about it anyway. You have one pasuk that says one way, one pasuk that says the other. Now the Gemara explains what the Chachamim do with Hamotzi Eschem mitachas Sivlos Mitzrayim. What does Rabbi Nechemya do with the other pasuk? And I would argue the following. I would even go, although the Gemara presents potentially conflicting, doesn't present a conflicting message. When the Gemara presents, let me ask you the following question. Do you need to establish only that the word can be read your way, or do you need to establish that the word can be read exclusively your way, must be exclusively read your way? In other words, if Hamotzi could be one way, and it could be the other, whose position would be correct? If Hamotzi could be read both past and future, or past and present, whose position would be right, the Rabban or Rabbi Nechemya? According to the Gemara, it sounds like Rabbi Nechemya. Now Rashi, though, interestingly enough, seems to be interested in the other side. The Gemara never addressed the issue, but I would have said on my own, the reason why the Gemara addressed the issue is because it didn't have to. Because as soon as you have one pasuk that could be read as past tense, as present tense, when you choose the bracha, you want to choose the unambiguous form. Now, if the Gemara hadn't given its Heichad Timsa to explain how the Chachamim deal with Hamotzi Eschem Mitachas Sivlos Mitzrayim, I could have said the other way. As soon as you have a pasuk which is mashma your way, that's enough. And the Chachamim are defended. In which case, you would have to explain for Rabbi Nechemya, why is it, how does he read the other pasuk? Doesn't the other pasuk, Hamotzi L'chamayim Mitzrayim Chalamish, mean past tense? So Rashi says, no, it doesn't. Why? Because when Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to them in Parshas Ekev, at the time, God, they were still dependent upon the man, and they were still dependent upon the water. It's still Hamotzi L'chamayim. He is taking out for you. There's no evidence that it has to be the past. Okay, but you don't really have to ask Rashi's question. Because based upon the Gemara, I would just argue that as soon as there's ambiguity, you don't want an ambiguous form if you have an unambiguous form. Nadav?
Forgive me if you already answered this question, but does the hate actually... imply past or present, or are they just associating it with different sugya?
It's not the hay so much as the answer is, to some extent it does, because if it's asher, even that doesn't prove it. The relative pronoun could be with the present tense. They're just looking at the I will tell you, there are a lot of examples, and I won't say this is true across the board, there are a lot of examples where the Targumim take a participle, particularly, I think specifically with the hey on front, and turn it into a past tense verb, then understand it as being in the past. I would argue that if you read it as a noun, you know, a taker out, then it becomes present tense. This goes back to what you were asking before, Moshe, and now I'm beginning to see a little better. Whereas once you read it as a verb and you put a relative pronoun on it, the hey, the possibility of reading it in the past tense becomes a possibility. Now, it's motzi mayim min achalamish can only be in what tense? It has to be present tense. Right, it essentially becomes a noun. When you say hamotzi mayim, you could read it as the one who brings out water, or you can read it as the one who brought out water. But without that hey, it becomes virtually impossible.
Except that they're reading they read the
yeah, I know. They're not grammatically.
This is not a grammatical.
I guess, you know, can you motzi osam? No, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you why. Now, you know why? Excuse me, why is Motzi why is Moshe wrong about that? I'm sorry, Ezra. I apologize. Well, I'm making one Ezra happy and one Ezra sad. Okay? Michael?
Well, I think that when it has when it has that kind of a suffix, it has to be past.
Phenomenal suffix.
That makes it definitive. Motzi is definite, not indefinite.
That's why
Hamotzi
is not the same
point.
I'm not saying it's indefinite.
No, what I'm telling you is that when you don't have it definite, it must be present tense. Motzi happens to be definite, and that's why it can have a past meaning. All right, but you know what? Enough. I don't want to. You know, I'll put this aside. You go ask Dr. Steiner these questions, okay? Because I'm starting to drown.
The question is the what the machlokas here is not really grammatical. I mean, because they're using the pesukim as the basis for patterns of the word.
We don't know. They're trying to figure out what the machlokas is. What the nekudas machlokas is. Okay, enough. Okay, so let's just finish the sugya, please. Okay. All right. V'rabanan. So how do they explain hamotzias hamitachas of los mitzrayim gadzion? You thought you'd never read again? The Israel. There must be a typo where I must have erased the lamin. Okay, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Jews. And the pasuk says, "Vidatem, you shall know, ki ani Hashem hamotzieschem mitachas sevlos Mitzrayim." Now, the truth is, the Chama, right? It's probably pshat. You will know that I am God who took you out of Egypt. Anyone have a JPS? That's not a JPS. Someone have a JPS? It's the first Ali, I think, of Aira. What? It's Zav Zion.
This is the old JPS.
That's fine.
And you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the
Egypt. Good. Notice who brought you out of Egypt. Okay.
It has to be because in the future it will have already happened.
I know. That's what the Gemara is saying. Right. Hold on. Because I will have a laugh at the end of this. My eyes have caught and I already laughed, but I want to see the new JPS for a second. 6-7. How can you have a text without that? Who freed you from the labors of the Egyptians. Again, past tense. Art Scroll has, I am Hashem, your God, who takes you out from under the burdens of Egypt. Okay? That's why they should be going easy. It's important to know the Hebrew language, and even if you don't know the Hebrew language, you need to know the Gemara. And don't tell me that Paschalim from Nehemiah, okay? This Gemara is pshat. If you want to understand the Gemara, you have to realize that this is the classic example of taking a Pasuk out of context. That's what they did initially. Hamotzias chamitachas los Mitzrayim. Well, it hasn't happened yet. Yeah, but vidatem, ki ani Hashem alokechem hamotzias chamitachas. You will know that I'm God who took you out of Egypt.
One
what?
One of the main problems, I think, is that the King James translates it as bring it, which is a present tense.
That's a bad translation. Okay. Anyway, I'd say what you want. The JPS, especially the new one, I wouldn't translate everything the way that they do. But the people who are doing it know the Hebrew language very, 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 very well. Okay.
Okay. The Jewish rhymes has a past tense.
What's that?
The Catholic version, the Jewish rhymes has a past tense.
Okay. Anyway, so understand that's Pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara's comment is really Pshat in the translation.
We can't wait till we have the right translation in the book, Rabbi.
Okay. Anyway, so that's what the Gemara says. That that kadma pikna lechu avin lechu milsa kihecha diyad isu da anahu da pika is yaschem in Mitzrayim. But what's diyad isu? That's correct, what Gabe said. No, that's the yadin atun. That you, we would translate that you will know, but it's a participle, okay? It's short for yad'in atun. You will know. We would translate with the future, but it's the you will know. The apekis yaschem etzam. I took you out of Egypt, but that's pshat, okay? It's bad enough that It's bad enough they didn't know the Hebrew language, but to have known the Gemara as well. That's, you know, from their perspective, that's inexcusable.
Well, what does the Gemara say?
What is the Gemara? The Rabbanon said. What?
What does their Gemara say?
I don't know. Okay, continue. So now that's the end of the first part. Guys, I'm sorry, I apologize, and I will say nothing more on the grammar, but you have to realize that if you don't know grammar well, it creates a deficiency in understanding many things properly in Gemara. And learning Tanakh. There are people who don't like grammar. I understand that. It takes a certain kind of, I call it a weird personality, to particularly enjoy the grammar. I know there are a lot of there are a number of people in this room, I'd say it's a rogue, who fit in that category. But it is an indispensable tool. If you don't have it, you don't have to be Dr. Steiner. Nobody here is anyway. But you don't, but the bottom line is, if you don't have a fundamental grasp of grammar of Hebrew and even Aramaic, as you can see here, you can't get what's going on. You can't get it. You know, it may not be fun, it may not be glorious, but at some point you need it. Without it, you're like a blind man groping in the dark. Okay? No. After share. Okay, no. I promise I said no more.
What do you recommend for us to improve on grammar besides in the Hebrew course, and why? Like, what steps do you take?
What's going on? Continue. Ami doesn't even understand. Someone will explain to him later. Go ahead. Okay, so the language is a little strange. The Rabbanan would praise to Rav Zera. Okay. Mishtabchen lay. Oh, transitive. Okay, that. Yes, it is odd. It is odd that mishtabchen lay rabban on the Rav Zera. I don't know why it's in the passive. You have to look at this verb as normally passive throughout Shas. I have no idea. It's not a common thing. You do have this expression elsewhere, though, I think. So who would they praise? So they would praise, you notice the S in brackets, and it's not in all the Kisveyad. Bar Rav Zvid, the son of Rav Zvid, the brother of Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Zvid. It's really funny when you think about this. They're saying Rav Shmuel's brother, but they can't name him. Why don't they name him? Maybe because since he's embarrassed at the end of the story, they were Chasal Kvodo. I have no idea. It's just very odd. So they praised the son of Rav Zvid, the brother of Rav Shmuel, the son of Rav Zvid. Okay, yes, they're both the sons of Rav Zvid. Then he is Abaki Bebrachos. Okay, why is it important to be Abaki Bebrachos? Because that's one of the three ways you might be a chassid. Okay, from the Gemara Babakai. You used to say that? Yes, okay.
Maybe it's important not to be a chassid.
No, so anyway, Amar Lahem, what Amar it's Lahem. Bad is to have people set you up with a great reputation, because then you come in, you're destined to fail, right? It's better them to think little of you, and then you blow them away, than to walk in thinking that you're some, you know, the next, you know, thing since sliced whatever, and then discover that you seem to be lacking.
They really want to slay us,
right? Shh. Continue. What is your sense of that line, by the way? No. My sense is that he was already a little skeptical and a little bit makane. He said, when he comes to your hand, bring him to me. Right? And as he wanted to test him. And what happens? Zimna chada. Ikla legabe. He happened, by happenstance, he happened to, you know, be guested there, in effect.
He brought him a piece of bread and patach v'amar motzi. And he made a beracha and he said motzi.
So Amar.
Zehu she'aminim alav de adam gadol hu v'ki b'brachotu. This is the guy that you actually say he's all that in berachot. Bishin amar I amar hamotzi. Ashmuyana ta'amar v'ashmuyana de'chetel k'dabaran. Ela de'amar motzi ma'ikam ashmuyana.
Now, who's speaking there? I don't know for sure. I assume it's Rav Zeira. I can't be sure. I don't think, by the way, it is Rav Zeira, even the Aramaic.
Islam, no?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I put it... What? Yes, it is. It is. It's a funny way. I'm just... The problem is that Amar... Yes, you have to explain what was Rav Zeira's... Why was he bothered by it? And it's a strange... What he's bothered by is strange.
The bold is the Amoraim and the regular is Stam.
Yes, and the italics means I'm not sure.
How did that line, the Adam Gadol, how would that have suddenly been Amoraim? I don't understand.
Why did I put that in? Why did I italicize that? Yeah. Oh, I know why. No, I'll explain why. I did make one mistake. L'chshayavo liyadchem haviyel liyadi is a direct quote. The reason I put that in italicized, you see, the problem is it's not a direct quotation, right? It's not Amar. The problem is that that's why I put it in italicized. I don't think it's a verbatim quotation, but it is what they said. Technically speaking, I should have left it unbolded. But in other words, they praised Rabbanan. The Rabbanan praised this Bar of Zvid to Rav Zeira to Adam Gadol Baki Baruch. So it's not a direct quotation, but it's almost as if they said something along those lines, because his response is Zeu Shama the Adam Gadol Baki Baruch. Now the truth is, it may be derivative of that line, and it could have been just Mishtab, and they would praise him. What was the praise? That's taken from Rav Zeira's response later. Okay, that's all. So I agree, it's not a direct quotation. It really is. It's probably just the Gemara's recounting of what they did. Okay. Except for, notice that Rav Zeira, the cantor, Rav Zeira says, Zeu sha'omer alav, quote, the Adam Gadol, the Adam Gadol Hubaki Bebracho.
I thought the fans were going according to the authorship, not the state, who wrote it down.
Well, it's all written down by the Gemara. The question is whether it's a quotation or whether or not it's a paraphrase. Okay? So Adam Gadol Baki Barachosu is definitely an Amoraic quotation because Rav Zeira said it. And when he said it, was he responding to those who had said Adam Gadol Hu Baki Barachos? No, Adam Gadol Baki Barachosu. Anyway, so Bishla, this is the Gemara, I think, speaking. Bishlama Yamar Hamotzi. So I don't understand. Maybe he didn't hold like the Rabbanan. Maybe Hillel Nechemiah was right. I don't understand. What's the kasha? It's the way it's presented. The premise of the question is, of course, the Rabbanan are right. So why not present? So once the Rabbanan are right, though, even for the Rabbanan, motzi is okay, right? Because everybody agrees. Kula amalo pligi that motzi is good. So. Since the halacha is like the Rabbanan, why not make it clear the halacha is like the Rabbanan? Okay, well, maybe he held the halacha wasn't like the Rabbanan. Okay, maybe he held that hamotzi, the mapik mashma. So the Gemara answers, v'ihu, the avad. Yeah, okay.
That meant to be a joke.
What? Oh, that's great. Thank you, that's very good. No. What's that?
Right.
All right, so Jeremy asks, says very, very cleverly, and I should hit myself for not having realized that you looked at a couple of great puns here. How does one determine whether it's a pun or not? Let me give you a great Targum Unklus of alliteration. Hold on. Unklus says on the Pasuk, Kim tzaok yitzak elai, shemoa es shemoa shma tzak aso. Ki im mikval yikval kidamai, Kabbalah akabel kivilte. Okay? So the question is that an alliteration? Or is the translation, in fact, of Shamoa Eshma, when it means to receive as opposed to hear, it means Kabbalah? And with Tza'ah, sometimes it's Tzvach, and sometimes, but frequently is Kaval. Kaval, yeah. Yeah, to be Kovel backs its way from Aramaic into Hebrew. Kovlim anu alechem prushin, kovlim anu alechem stukin. What's the word kovlim? That's the Aramaic. Tzaak, tzoakim anu alechem. That's the Mishnah in Yadayim. So I don't know.
Well, you can figure out what's used more commonly.
I suspect it may be more common to use Kvilta.
I thought that the question was, is there a choice?
Sa'ak, yeah. I haven't checked. It's part, you know, if it bears out, it's good, because it'll be one of my, I think I have three examples for an article, but, you know, of this choice of words.
He has a choice.
He does have a choice, but I think it's not uncommon if it's Ak to be Kvel. Enough. Anyway, so what you have to do, Jeremy, is you have to see whether Apik Rifta is the normal term or not. If it's
I said, they could have said lots of things.
No, Lafuke Na, and again, I think Lafuke Na Shemi Plugta is the typical expression. So you have to look at it. It's cute. At the very least, it's cute. It might even be correct. Okay. So anyway, Mehilchasa. Go ahead. Okay. Fine.
Why is that the last two words on the line?
I'm trying to connect it to the earlier piece within Rava, the Apik Mashma. Is that the language of the Stam, or is that the language of Rava? Okay. And I didn't want to put it in bold. There, I was careful not because I'm sure it's the Stam, but I want to just highlight it. Okay. Any questions about that? No? Okay. Now, how many people got through at least the bottom, almost the bottom of Amud Beis? All right, so we're going to start reading, but you really need to get through the bottom. So I'm going to try to avoid putting forth any of the questions. Tomorrow we're going to read the Gemara some, and then tomorrow we're going to try to drive home some of the points. Nadav.
Can I just ask a question on something you said?
Yes.
In the end of the day, if you say motzi, the Rabbanon say it's okay?
Yeah. Why not?
I'm saying in other places of Gemara, is that ever brought up again?
This topic?
Motzi.
No, this is the only thing. This is the only thing.
What about today?
We say, are you Yotze? Yes, you're Yotze. According to Rabbi Yotze, we're probably passing that way.
Well, you're Yotze if you say a whole bunch of things, so it's not really
good. That's true. Someone says, Brich Rachmana Morei Da'alma Da'aipita, Morei Da'aipita, Malkadama Morei Da'aipita, there you go. You're Yotze as well, but that, you know.
How do you define the Matzea of the Berachah?
That's an excellent question. I don't know. I mean, Matbea, you know, Matbea, the bracha has some degree of flexibility, but I can't tell you exactly how much.
But what is the Matbea? Like, is that the first part, the last part?
Matbea, the thing that's most important to the Matbea is the chasima. That's clear. More than anything else. Yeah, but, and that's the most significant part. There's much more flexibility in the Gufa bracha.
But in halakha, it seems like it's the least significant part. It's the least changeable part.
That's correct. That's why it's the most.
There's so much ambiguity that everybody's saying something different, so somebody must be over.
No.
You know, it's like.
Who's saying what different? You know, by the way, if you look, study the Rambam in Nusach HaTfilah, and you'll see that the things where there are probably the least changes are the Chasim HaSabracha.
But you're saying what's the most. Was the fact that there was or was not a Tadim HaBarachah by certain paragraphs and stuff, or the very words?
No, the very words in it. Again, it's not that there aren't differences between Sfarad and Ashkenazim, the difference between the Rambam and.
No, in general. The Gaon of Vilna changed the Chasim in the Amidah.
Yeah.
What did he change?
He says, Shoveh Resha Machnia Zadon. Instead of Shoveh Revimo.
Okay, so he thought that was the original, but we don't do that.
God is
okay, anyway. Alright, let's move on. Vaha Yerakot Omer, go ahead.
Yeah, I can yell at my boss.
Vaha Yerakot Omer, כתנאי ירקות דומיה דפת מה פת משתנה על ידי האור אף ירקות נמי נשנו על ידי האור אמר לבנאי משמע דעלי זאת אומרת שלקות מברכים עליהן בורי פרי האדמה ממה דקנאי
אחרי that part's not in the כספייד and shouldn't be there. So what happens here? כתנאי ירקות דומיה דפת. Whose דיוק is this? This was the opening diuk we made this year. Remember, this is the same that Yushalmi has. Notice when we said Al Peros Hilan Hu Omer Boy Prates Chutzmei Ahal Yayin, what we said was the b'mashma that fruit juices are called Peros Hilan, and then we said Al Peros Adama Hu Omer Boy Prates Adama Chutzmei Apas Shal Apas Omer. So b'mashma, that no matter what you do to something, even if you process it and you grind it up and you do this and you do that to it, it retains its bracha. It's still considered still considered borei pri ha'adama, except for that there's a special bracha for pas. There's a special bracha for pas. And therefore, what we on the Mishnah you can make the same deal. Just like you see that yayin is pre eitz, except for that it gets a special bracha. You see that pas, which is ground up and baked, okay, al yidei ha'or, has a bracha borei pri adama, except for that the chachama made a special takana of borei pri amotzi lechem
haaretz. What's that Mishnah? I mean, the Mishnah says that statement pulled off of the al peros haaretz who amot borei pri adama.
Yeah.
To be a pas.
Yeah. So what does that imply?
No, but then it says val yirakos who amot borei pri adama. That's a separate thing.
Yirakos are different. No. I understand, but the Yerushalmi makes the deal on both. But the bottom line is, I agree, it's not talking about, the diuk isn't on the line in Yerek, but the Bavli is making it anyway to point out, but it is pointing out for Shlakos, right? Why? Because the principle that you walk away with, from Geffen, from Yayin, you don't see cooking. You see simply removing, you know, extracting, grinding up maybe, but you don't see the cooking piece. What you see from the past is that even though you mishan it and you heat it, you use some type of heat to transform it, it's still considered the original. And now when you go to Yerek, you're correct. You know, there's nothing in that line in the Mishnah. But once you conceptually, once you see it by pass, that it's still called Priha, it doesn't lose shame Priyadama just because you're making it in the pass. So the same thing should be true by Yerakos. It doesn't matter what you do to them. So that's what the Gemara says, Katani Yerakos to me the pass. Ma pasha nishtana se dea or, af Yerakos na mishin nishtana yudei ha'or. Amar Rav Noi mishmei dabaye, zoso meres. Now, the line earlier part, I suspect, was not what Abaye said. But what did Abaye say Zosomeris in response to?
The Mishnah.
Abaye was responding to the Mishnah. He said, Zosomeris, boom, and that din. And the Gemara here is just fleshing it out for you.
Now, that. I think it's pretty misleading because, like, it doesn't. There's no correlation between Yerako and Pot. It's just that since Pot are in the category of Priha,
it's really Yerako's Dumi the Priha Adama, yes, if you want to call it that. Yes, but they want to link it to that. Now, the truth is, one could argue that Abaye wasn't even thinking in these terms. Abaye could have been thinking simply in the Yerushalmi's terms. It's not a question. It's clearly there's a Hava Mina here that heating it is somehow would have made it worse. In other words, the cooking / baking / frying / whatever else you want process would have changed things. Now Abaye obviously assumes that doesn't change things, but it could be even, Abaye wasn't necessarily thinking in those terms. The Yerushalmi, if in Shlakos, I don't think, does it ever say that it's because the cooking? No, it talks about nitchanin, even though it's ground up, it's still considered be'en. The cooking process, if the food were intact, in itself does not seem to disturb the Yerushalmi, I think, and it could be it wasn't disturbing Abaye either. Now, bottom line, it doesn't matter, because Hayotzim Advarim would be the same thing. You can make that diuk, the very same diuk from the Mishnah. You can make that very same diuk from the Mishnah, that the heating process to transform food, combined with the fact that the food is ground up, does not in any way change the bracha. So the Bavli's diuk is correct, but Abaye may not have intended to spell it out in those terms. He never had that havamin about Bishul. Either way, so now what do we get? So that seems to be Abaye, period, end of discussion. Now he seems, now go ahead, Darash.
Darash Achizda, and Mishum, and Abinam,
and somebody, Shalom, I think, pointed out to me that, and it's in the notes on the side as well, Rashi, it's Masha from Rashi that he doesn't have Umanu Rav. In this case, but all the Kisveyat have that we have it. Okay, so Darash Rachis the Mishum Rabbeinu, and his Rebbe is Rav. So there apparently was a tradition brought from Eretz Yisrael. Rav Chisda is quoting this, that you make a shahakal on shlakos. Even though the practice of Rav, which would presumably be the practice in Bava, was you make a bari pri adama. Vani omer.
Vani omer. Shehitkilato bari pri adama shelako shehakol niya bedvaro. Vekol shehitkilato shehakol niya bedvaro shelako bari pri adama.
Now, what does this seem to be assuming? What's the logic behind this? It's, I think, pretty straight, pretty clear, which is not change. No, it's not changes because. If it's eaten in an unusual form, then you don't make the bracha miuchedes, the special bracha, right? You make a shahakol. And according to that logic, what would it then be if something is eaten equally raw or reasonably well, raw and cooked? What would it then be? Both ways. That's what the Balei Tosfot say. The Rambam, I think, also says that. That's fairly obvious reading of the Gemara. I don't see any other way of interpreting the Gemara. So now the Gemara just says they want to know mitzius bishlama. Okay, cabbage, beets, and gourds. Elakol. Tumei v'karte, which the Gemara sounds like here it assumes that they're better raw than they're cooked, which I find to be strange actually, because onions are actually quite good if you bake them. You know, they're edible, they're sweet, they're really good. To eat it raw is like, woo. What? I'm sorry, shrimp is garlic. Okay, but same thing. Same thing. I mean, to eat raw garlic is ekarte is a
leek.
It's the same family, and they're all the same family. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's
I like leeks and garlic better cooked.
What? I'm sorry.
I personally like leeks and garlic.
I agree.
Cooked.
Garlic. I don't know. I've never had leeks like that. Garlic. You know, you can put in a garlic roaster and you can eat it once it's cooked, softened, and so on. And it's edible. I mean, it's strong, but it's not nowhere near as strong as when it's raw. It's much more edible. So I don't know. That's a little strange. Tosfos raises that question. Like, in the Matthias, it seems not to be true. But, okay. What? Onions? You can eat onions raw like you can eat garlic raw. By the way, you eat onions raw in a salad. Probably. Well, also the shape also makes it more of an effort. Okay. Anyway, so bottom line, that's Rav Chisda's drasha. Now, what was Rav Nachman's drasha? And we'll leave it with this guy. So I'm sorry. So by the way, one thing, Rav Chisda made peace between the two views. Okay, Rav Nachman comes along and says, Darash Ma'am Shem Rabbeinu. Stop it. So he presented it, the same debate, except for now from Shmuel instead of Rav. And then he says he thinks it's a machlokas. Vani Yomer, as opposed to Rav Chisda, machlokas shnuya. D'tanya. And now you machlokas whether or not you can be yotzei matzah if you cook the matzah after you bake it, as long as it hasn't dissolved. So Rabbi Meir says yes, Rabbi Yossi says no. So the suggestion is that Rav Nachman held that according to Rabbi Meir, Bishul, that's what they're holding like in Bava, Bishul doesn't change the status of matzah and doesn't change the bracha. Rabbi Yossi holds it changes the bracha. And now, this is not Rav Nachman speaking anymore, it's the Bavli speaking, and we're going to have to talk about this. Velohi. It could be over a question of ta'am matzah. Now, there's a minor problem here. First question I want to ask you is, where did the stomach of the Gemara get this idea from? Number two is that true? You need ta'am matzah?
I've never
heard of that. No. The Gemara in Arvei Pesachim says ta'amor. Remember, below Besiv, I think? Bala matzah, right. Right. Besiv is no good, but bala matzah yatzah, bala mar lo yatzah. Right? Now, anyway, we have to talk about those two questions, but that may not be... What? No, but they're talking about the yotzim or not. The machlokas is whether yotzim baraka kashari, unless you understand some lachatchila, but Rabbi Yosef would be moda b'diavad. Doesn't sound like that. It sounds like Yimachon is about yotzim. Like my word on Olin, called Olin Lamin Shiv. It's not a Lashon Lachatchila, that's a Lashon whether you fulfill the obligation or not. Okay, fine, we'll stop here. And tomorrow, I want you to think about the flow of the Sugya. Okay, the flow of the Sugya, you only have to worry about until the bottom of Lamed Ches Amid Beis. I mean, you should go on, but up until the Zayas Maliach story. I'd like to daven Mincha if we can.